Hey everyone, this is Ishita Gupta and I'm here with Dave Logan today. I love that because you have two first names, it sounds like. but Dave is a best-selling author of Tribal Leadership, and he's writing a new book, which is, what's the name of it, Dave?
Well, the working title is The Dark Side of Leadership.
The Dark Side of Leadership, okay, which I actually love. So, and I've been trying to coordinate with Dave for a few weeks to get him on and to interview him. So I'm happy that we're chatting today. And you also run a consulting practice, is that right?
That's true.
Okay, and what is the consulting for, and who are some of your clients?
Well, it's so the Tribal Leadership book is specifically about building high performance cultures, and in some ways we think paved a lot of new ground in that area. So I'm trying to think, the clients we've worked with, I mean, lots of startups and small companies that are only now really coming into people's awareness, and the big ones, Prudential, Cigna, Coca-Cola, Microsoft, Northrop Grumman, like that.
Okay. And I only ask because if it's bigger companies you work with, it's interesting to see that maybe this new book that's coming out, Shadows of Leadership, is that something that you've sort of learned from working with companies, and you realize that there's this topic that needs to kind of be blown open a little bit?
Yeah, well, what got me thinking about the topic was just a very, in some ways, simple insight that if you look at people that don't seem to have a dark side, and by dark side here specifically, I mean things like temper and anger and rage and lust. I mean, there are just some people who don't really seem to have that. There's not a lot of them, but there are some that when they step into positions of leadership, they act very wimpy. And probably the best example is Jimmy Carter when he was president. He even said himself that he was a very ineffective president because he just didn't really have a dark side. He carried his own luggage into the waiting car to move him to the White House on the day of the inauguration. And he was just such a nice guy that in some ways people just walked all over him. And then on the other extreme, you have people who not only have a dark side and find a way to kind of tap into it, but they're completely possessed by it. And so, and then on the extreme, you get the iconic figures that we all love to think that we're so different from, like the Hitlers and the Stalins and the Pol Pots, but it's just as true in organizations of micromanagers and tyrants and people who throw very juvenile tantrums and yet get away with it. So there are actually a lot of people that are really just possessed of their dark side. And if you look at that kind of golden middle, first of all, it's very thin, and very few people manage to really find it.
What do you mean by the golden middle? The middle who know that they have a dark side and use it wisely?
Yeah, they use it without being possessed by it. And that's tough because the dark side by nature, and this is not a spiritual discussion. That's not my
Well, we can
background.
get into that if need be.
Well, so I don't look at any of this as being, like forces of evil or something like that, but it's just the nature of someone's dark side, mine, yours, anyone's, to really want to possess them. And there are a lot of psychological theories that your dark side almost has a personality in the same way that you do. And so the thing is, when it possesses you, you're often the last one to know. In fact, some people go to their grave without ever really knowing that they were possessed by it. A lot of the people around them know it, but they don't. So there's a blind spot that is just massive that comes with being possessed.
Well, I love this because I haven't talked to anyone actually in the whole magazine, 150 people, who have really delved into this topic of your shadow side. I have a friend, Jen Loudon, who sort of touches upon it, but I think we're uncomfortable with it, and that's why we don't really dig deep into it. But what have you found from your research or working with people about the shadow sides? Is it that we want to move away from it and not sort of understand it?
Well, yeah, we've learned a lot, and I should say that I'm really in the early stages of this, but some pretty big insights are coming out of it. One of them is we really, as a society, don't have any competent ways of dealing with evil, as a topic. And David Brooks from the New York Times made a very interesting comment. He was interviewed on, or he was doing one of his weekly pieces on National Public Radio, and they were talking about the child sexual scandals at Penn State. And his answer was, the specific question was, should they cancel the football season? He said, well, actually, the broader question is, why are we so surprised by things like this? You know, we just don't seem to really understand evil. We don't, we're always surprised when someone in our midst turns out to be, you know, someone that's very dark. So we really don't have any good ways of dealing with it. That's probably been the biggest insight. So the ways that people try to deal with it, and it includes fear. So that's, I think, where the connection is first of all, a lot of people look to very, now I run the risk of really alienating people and ticking them off, but a lot of people turn to very primitive belief systems to try to deal with their dark side. Things like simply denying it, just pretending that it's not there, which of course makes as much sense as pretending that you're not in credit card debt. And a lot of people try to pray it away or fast it away, or in the sense of going without food as part of a religious ritual. I know people that go to exorcists because they, you know, eat too many donuts, and clearly the devil is making me eat donuts. So if the devil got cast out of me, then I wouldn't eat donuts. And
it's something separate from themselves, essentially.
It's something separate from themselves. Right. And the other thing that, of course, just doesn't work at all is to just ignore it, which is actually what most of us do. And when you ignore it and you don't kind of give it its due, it creeps in and it starts to control you in very subtle but powerful ways. So the biggest insight is, I mean, really, are you kidding me? After we've had, you know, how many years since Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung and all these people that we don't even have good ways, to go back to the David Brooks comment, of recognizing that people have a dark side, and we're still surprised by it.
Well, two things. I think it's fascinating that people are always surprised by, you know, the scandals or things that come out. If there is repression, what else do people expect if you're not going to address something or be aware of it? Firstly. Right. Secondly, how does one come into awareness of let's say my own dark side without it freaking me out and making me feel like I want to run in the opposite direction?
Well, yeah, actually, you kind of have to reverse the question to get to an answer, which is how do I find my dark side, knowing that when I find it, it will freak me out and send me running.
Oh no, it's inevitable. Okay.
Well, and it really is, and I've talked to a number of very well known. I don't have permission to use their names yet, but I'm sure I will by the time the book comes out. Very, very, very well known Jungian scholars that worked under Carl Jung, and they all made the same comment, which is that Jung really didn't believe that every person's shadow side should be brought into awareness, because some people's shadow side are really, really dark. So it's not, you know, correct to say that people should kind of like find their dark side and you know, bring it into the light. And there are people that are, pick your word, sociopaths, psychopaths. If you know the TV show Dexter, it's probably doesn't hold a lot of psychological weight. But there really are people out there that don't have a conscience, by some measures, about 1% of the U.S. population. So, you know, some people's dark sides are. Murderous, and if we really let them out, really bad things would happen. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, if you really want to look at your dark side, the first thing you have to realize is that your dark side doesn't want to be seen. It doesn't want you to find it. So it will force its will, but yet it tries to do so invisibly. And fear is just the, you know, the ultimate thing. If you ask someone why you're afraid, and you get them talking about it, they're not any less afraid. They're still afraid, but now they've been distracted by the intellectualization of fear. So
break that down for me a little bit more.
Well, so the dark side by nature is non-rational. And a lot of people try to analyze the dark side, right, to make sense of it, to dissect it and find its component pieces. And in other words, they try to use logic on it. The problem is, it's not a creature of logic. That's not where it comes from, and it doesn't obey those rules. Emotions do not obey logical rules. You know that if you ever try to point out to someone who's yelling at the top of their lungs why their argument makes no sense. Sure. It doesn't make them any less angry. In fact, it makes them more angry. So the more you remember, your dark side doesn't want to be seen. And so the more you sort of go looking for it and use logic and kind of detective work to find it, find its trail and follow its footprints, is the extent to which you're not actually following your dark side at all. Your dark side has tricked you into thinking that it can be found through logic and reason, and it can't. And so very simply, your dark side appears in moments when you really hate the fact that you just did something that you're not really proud of. You got suddenly angry in a meeting. You suddenly just got overwhelmed by fear. You know, this sense of impending catastrophe just overwhelms you. Or you look at someone and you think to yourself, you know what? compared to you, I'm really great. You completely suck, mm-hmm. right? Which is another, you know, sign of the dark side, kind of that unbridled ego. Mm-hmm. That really, instead of just running from it, what you want to do is to form a sort of healthy tension with the dark side. So usually we see it, we run screaming from it, and so then we can't really hold it in our view.
So I know that you just said that you're not super spiritual, but there's a Buddhist philosophy where you do actually sort of make friends with your fear and your emotions, these negative emotions that we generally connote with like fear and rage and anger, all these negative emotions. You make friends with it, sort of. Is this right. A similar idea of like just becoming more aware and kind of being a little bit more embracing of that dark side?
Well, yeah, and I'm very familiar with that theory, and I have to say that's not supported by psychological research. Mm-hmm. So the analogy that I would say is, let's say you find out that you're living next door to a serial killer,
yeah,
and that for whatever reason you call the police and there's no evidence and they won't take it seriously, and let's say that for some reason you can't move, okay, so you're stuck in this house, yeah, and you live next door to a serial killer. Are you going to show up at the door with a warm plate of cookies and say how delighted you are to meet them and try to sit down with them and give them a big hug?
No.
You're probably not going to do that. You're probably going to install surveillance equipment and lights and make sure that you have the police on your speed dial so that you can get them here with one, you know, button. And more than anything, you want to know where that neighbor is at all times, mm-hmm. right? That's what you want to do with your dark side. You don't actually – now, you know, fear is a little different. Uh-huh. Now we got to sort of, you know, jump.
Yeah, let's dig into it and differentiate. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, so one of the issues here is I'm using the word dark side in two completely different ways at the mm-hmm. same time. Mm-hmm. So one of them is the dark side is just that which is not visible. So your blind spots are that's a component of your dark side. And so not everything lurking in your dark side is evil and wants to kill you or kill other people. It's often things like your own potential can hide in your dark side. That's the case for most people. They don't know really how competent and potentially able they are.
So, and a lot of, to stop you, so the yeah. blind spot is not knowing your potential or the potential itself. I know it's semantics, but I want to understand what you're saying.
Yeah, well, the semantics are very important. So one sense in which the dark side is there is whatever you don't see about yourself or about a situation, mm-hmm. that's lurking in the dark side. So if you don't know your potential is lurking in the dark side. You probably think you know your potential, but if you really don't, then it's in the dark side. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of ambition is in people's dark sides, especially during recessions. You know, I really want to be somebody. I really want to change the world like Steve Jobs, but I can't because I'm stuck in this job. And so anytime your ambition comes out, it's horrifying to see, and so you kind of run from it. So there's a lot of potentially very positive things lurking in the dark side. And then the other way that I mean it, it's not so much the idea of a shadow. It's more that there are certain types of things that like the dark. Mm-hmm. You know, if you walk into your kitchen in the middle of the night and turn on the light,
yeah,
and you got bugs, that's when you're going to find out you got bugs. Because the bugs like the light, right?
Yeah.
And so unbridled ambition, you know, lust for power, really wanting to crush people, those kind of feelings uh-huh. are often the things that sort of tend to like the dark. So there's sort of a connection, a correlation between the things that we don't see about ourselves and potentially the things that if we saw, we really wouldn't like.
That's such a fascinating analogy that you just gave about turning on the light. So is it then, because we have clearly these things that are lurking in our dark sides, how do we sort of turn on the light on ourselves if it's never going to be fun to do that?
Well, it's a really good question, and I feel like I'm answering that your very specific questions with very kind of general answers.
No, this is exactly the way it should go, because I like the fact that we're touching on all of these different concepts. I've never heard of them before, so it's good.
Right. Well, you know, so one thing about when I say shadow here, I don't mean Jung's idea of the shadow. I just mean mm-hmm. shadows in general. There's never not a shadow. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're standing out in the sun and it's noon and it's not like daylight saving time, you still cast a shadow. The right. shadow is just under your feet. Mm-hmm. So unless you are, you know, suspended by a helicopter by ropes and you've got light from every possible direction, you always cast a shadow. In fact, even in that case, you just cast sort of a lot of shadows at the same time. So mm-hmm. there's really no such thing as turning the light on your shadow, because then the shadow just moves, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you need to do is as a practice, learn to spot when something kind of pops into your awareness that is something you either are surprised by, something that's maybe inconsistent with how you think of yourself, or something that makes you absolutely freaked out.
That's such a good, I mean, essentially what you're doing is making your, when your shadow is high noon, you think, oh, this is a huge shadow right now. Whereas before, if it's later on in the day or it's just not a huge shadow, it's still there, but it's just not as visible.
It's just not as visible. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'll give you a specific example. Often in the religious tradition coming from the West, from the Judeo-Christian tradition, a lot of people, if they really suffer from, that's probably too strong a word, if people feel that they're really ambitious and they want power and they want control and they want money, there's a book in what the Christians call the Old Testament that they turn to, which is the book of Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. And it's all about kind of how everything is, it's very nihilistic, you know, that we chase glory and in the end we find only death. And mm-hmm. so really, what's the point? And a lot of people would sort of read that as a way to reaffirm the fact that their lust for power is really kind of unholy. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a completely different way to approach it, which I actually think is much more in line with that particular writing, mm-hmm. which is to read it and say, you know what? I actually have these feelings.
Right.
In fact, this person is articulating what I feel sometimes in my heart way more than I ever feel it. And as for like the nihilism, that's not the kind of reason to not like that's ambition.
Right.
It's actually the nihilism is sort of borderline depression, mm-hmm. which is another side of the dark side. So it's actually someone exploring their dark side. It's not a rant against the dark side. It's an exploration of it. That's what it looks like.
So what I'm taking from this is that being open and being more aware are sort of the central tenets of working with your dark side.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly part of it. And then in a bit more structured way for people that really want to take this into leadership.
Yeah.
Early on in the research about this, but the first thing that really we have to see is that to be an effective leader, you have to not only find your dark side, you know, and find it on occasion and kind of see it as a short, sort of running figure that you might catch a glimpse of for a second, sort of like these sightings of Bigfoot. That's not actually enough. Mm-hmm. You actually have to kind of map it. You have to know how it works. You have to know how it responds. And it's, you know, it's sort of a person in a lot of ways. It's got a personality. It's got a character. There are times it comes out. There are ways that you can kind of push its buttons. And you actually have to know that. And the reason is that's actually a wellspring of tremendous power.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to tell like one kind of quick story that I think will really, you know, illustrate this. I think people have completely missed the point of the Star Wars movies. Okay. So, you know, George Lucas was highly informed by Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey and the hero with a thousand faces and all that. But if you actually kind of look at the sequence of story, it went something like this. Originally, you had the Jedi and they were very powerful. And then something was happening in the dark side that was so powerful, they couldn't see it, and it robbed them of their power. They were easily killed, they were easily taken over, and all of them but a few were wiped out. And this had been prophesied years and years and years, or you know, who knows, millions of years potentially, before, that someone would come into existence that would bring balance to the Force. And so then it's the story of Darth Vader. Of course, he falls, he turns to the dark side. George Lucas said, if you actually watch all the movies together, you realize that the hero of the story is actually not Luke, it's Darth Vader.
Because he ends up learning, and I mean, you'll kill me, but I've only seen the first one, but does Darth Vader end up becoming, he learns about himself and then he kind of goes the opposite direction, or what happens?
No, he goes completely dark. And at the very, very end of his life, he sort of reconciled to his son in literally the last maybe 30 seconds of his life before he dies. And then he says, it's too late for me, son, but you know, you can take a different path. And then at the very end of, you know, the sequence, if you see them chronologically, not the way that they were released in the movies, but chronologically at the very end, you see Luke standing with then all these people that have died that have been his mentors, which begs the question, how would the Jedi be different after balance had been brought to the Force? So originally they were very monk-like. They lived celibate lives. They didn't have any anger. They would never explore the negative side of their emotions. And they were essentially destroyed by people that would open themselves to that. Mm-hmm. And then the people that opened themselves to it were possessed by it. And at the very end, there's at least the glimmer that the universe has now completely changed. that the nature of the Force and the Jedi is actually not monk-like. It's now going to be balanced. It's going to be balanced between light and dark. And I don't think anyone has picked up on that. I'm really surprised.
Well, you're going to be the first to let us all know, Dave. And so they end up being more powerful, you're saying, because they explored that dark side.
Right. Certainly more powerful, more balanced, but also not, you know, living like monks and living celibate life. We're actually living like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Far more powerful than they were before. And I think that that's a great, for people that have, you know, that have seen all the movies, they really resonate with it. A lot of people who go to leadership seminars, including the ones that I put on, you know, in organizations, often hear the message that they have to find their higher aspiration, their values, right, their core values, and embrace that. And if you do that without also embracing your dark side, you become really wimpy.
Yeah, I think that's great. Firstly, bring that. Are you going to bring that to Lucas then himself?
Working on that.
That's after you write the book.
Hopefully very soon.
And I think you're right about that. What do you think in terms of the qualities that you found from the dark side? Is there one that's more prominent than others? You mentioned rage, lust, anger, obviously, which, I mean, I felt all of those. So is there one that's prominent, or I don't even know if there's a question in there, but.
No, it's a very good question, and it really maps to your own personality. Mm-hmm. So if you take something like Myers-Briggs that shows you your personality type, whatever you're not is your shadow. Or another way to say it, for people that are familiar with the Enneagram, I happen to be what's called a type 3, which is an achiever. And so there's an inherent blindness to each one of the nine kind of they're not exactly personality types, but kind of character types. And the sort of blindness that goes with my type is deception, especially self-deception. And so the point is, if I got to know my dark side, Sheeta, and you got to know your dark side, they may be completely different. You know, mine might be deception and yours might be...
well, let's not talk about mites. What the million-dollar question is, what do you think yours is?
Oh, without a doubt, it's deception. And it's, you know, I've written a lot about kind of post-ego cultures. So what do cultures look like when people really, not so much overcome their ego, but they transfer their ego to the group. So it's no longer about me, it's about the group. That's the fundamental point of tribal leadership. And so ego is something that I, you know, fight with all the time. And again, I'll never get over it.
And what do you mean by ego? It means that it's sort of you're at the forefront of your mind is the ego when you're doing something or interacting. What do you mean by that?
Well, in my case, and I think this is probably true for most of the people that will listen to this, I mean, if you just looked at me on paper, and Ashita, if you looked at you on paper, you know, we got a lot of advantages, mostly from our parents or from genetics or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm fairly smart. I grasp ideas pretty easily. You know, there's really not much that I've ever tried to do that I really, you know, couldn't do. And, so I kind of look at situations and I look at people and my natural reaction is if they're failing is to say, well, it's because they're losers, right? It's because they're not performing like I would perform, right? That's the very egocentric thing to say.
Oh, I see.
So the dark side approach to that is not to dismiss it, not to try to overcome it, not to deny it, not to re-repress it because it was repressed and just got out, but rather to find that side of yourself that you find particularly distasteful and recognize that in that there's tremendous, you know, power. So for me, if I get up every morning and I read something, I do a lot of my writing in kind of this angry reaction to something that I've read. So I read some piece on leadership or some piece on politics or something, and you know my ego just goes off and says, that's completely wrong. That's wrong for the following 15 reasons, and I try to capture that.
And you write a blog post that's very popular after that.
And that's exactly what happens. So it's forming a healthy tension. So it's not that I'm trying to control it or put it in a cage. There's definitely no overcoming it, transcending it. There's no great grand ball of illumination of light that makes it go away. That's just not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I have to keep that side of myself completely visible to me all the time.
Ah, I see.
That's really the point.
But sometimes doesn't that suck? I mean, if constantly, I mean, although I think a healthy ego is quite good and beneficial, how are you maintaining that quote unquote tension and not having it annoy you or say, God, Dave, well, look at this sort of thing about yourself. I don't know if I just missed the whole point of our conversation, but to me, is there a way to do that you do?
Well, there is. And again, you have to keep in mind the dark side doesn't want to be seen. So what I see in terms of my own ego goes along with the fact that there are enormous blind spots. So the truth is, I'm not as good as I think I am, right? That's a blind spot. So in some cases, I think I'm better than I actually am. So the actual kind of, you know, fair gauge of ability is in a blind spot. But then the big thing, the big, you know, kind of deception that goes with that is, of course, if I actually felt, you know, in that moment, empathy, compassion for the other person, then I wouldn't respond the way I just did. I would actually see, here's a person, you know, doing as well as they can, which is truthfully as good as I ever do, right? As well as I can. So empathy, compassion, ability to really see a situation from another's point of view, mm-hmm. all of that immediately gets thrown in the dark side and covered over with this grand deception. So the minute you see your dark side, you also have to realize that most of it suddenly has gone into hiding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and that's really, you know, what you have to sort of trace back.